On Friday's Page One, Prime Minister George Papandreou of Greece canceled his controversial plan for a referendum on the European debt deal. We'll look at how the Census Bureau's count of poor people differs from a fuller accounting of poverty in the U.S. And John Corzine lobbied against rules that would have barred the kinds of trades that brought down the Wall Street firm he was running. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou abandoned his explosive plan to put a European rescue deal to a vote. Papandreou changed his mind amid a rebellion from within his own socialist party.
This comes after a day when world leaders spent most of their time talking about Greece.
Times correspondent Stephen Erlanger at the G20 summit in France.
People are still waiting to see what kind of government results in Greece, but there is genuine relief that the Greek people will not be asked to have such a fundamental choice. Even President Obama, when he met with Sarkozy, said it was very important that the Europeans essentially get their act together and resolve the questions over Greece. Greece, of course, is not the only problem. Silvio Berlusconi of Italy has got a talking to as well. His government's shaky, Italian debt's very high, and all the leaders want more commitment from him to reform his government and promote growth, because Italy's debt at nearly 2 trillion euros far outweighs Greece's.
Times correspondent Stephen Erlanger. Friday's Times says the Census Bureau's latest count of poor people differs from what experts see. The count showed 10 million people have fallen below the poverty line in the last 4 years. The count doesn't look at who benefits from safety net programs. If you factor that in, the rise in poverty drops by half. The broader picture also shows less poverty among children, but more among older Americans. The reason is high medical costs. There's also less poverty among blacks, but more among Asians and Latinos. John Corzine lobbied against rules that would have outlawed the trades that led to the collapse of the firm he was running. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission listened. Corzine is a former U.S. senator and former governor of New Jersey, and he ran Goldman Sachs in the 1990s, so his words carried considerable weight in Washington, and the CFTC gave in. That was several months ago. Now, MF Global is scrambling to find $630 million in missing customer funds. Friday's Times says Occupy Wall Street is putting Mayor Michael Bloomberg in a bind. He's in favor of free speech, but he emphasizes the city's economy by talking up its importance. The mayor's response to the protests has evolved over time. At first, he appeared to emphasize his disagreements with the protesters. Then he began calling them peaceful dissenters. In the last few days, he sounded exasperated. That echoes complaints from neighbors of the park in Lower Manhattan, where the protesters have been camping out since mid-September. Friday's Times says the Kim Kardashian-Chris Humphries breakup has become one of the biggest cultural moments for reality television. It is confusing. She was telling the tabloid she was filing for divorce while the E! Network was still rerunning the wedding. Media expert Thomas DeZingotita says it's tempting to think the preoccupation with reality TV stars is a sign of the decline and fall of Western civilization. He says it's not. He says viewers are more sophisticated these days and watch reality television on different levels. Inside Friday's Times, private property comes to Cuba. The Raul Castro government announced Cubans and permanent residents can buy and sell real estate. It's a major break from decades of socialist housing policy that's likely to reshape Cuba's cities and Cubans' conception of class. The U.S. accused China and Russia of internet spying. U.S. intelligence agencies told Congress both nations hide behind the anonymity of proxy computers and routers in third countries. The U.S. says they steal proprietary corporate information in hopes of speeding their own economic development. They've also targeted government and academic computer networks. Texas Governor Rick Perry has flown for free more than 200 times, thanks to corporate executives and wealthy donors. The trips are unusual for a governor, but they are within the bounds of Texas ethics laws. Perry wouldn't have made it to a 2008 meeting at the EPA without livestock owners. One of them flew him to Washington for the meeting. The livestock owners wanted the EPA to lift a rule requiring corn-based ethanol in gasoline. They said that was pushing up the price of corn. Friday's Times says the GOP is trying to move beyond the finger-pointing that's dominated the campaign the last few days. It started with the disclosures of sexual harassment allegations against Herman Cain. Then Cain accused Texas Governor Rick Perry of trying to bring down his candidacy. Times reporter Jeff Zeleny looks at the fallout.
One thing that happens in situations like this is that we see how candidates learn to react to crisis. Herman Cain, for example, had a strategy at the beginning of giving as many interviews as possible. He was trying to explain this away. He was even using humor.
I told you this bullseye on my back has gotten bigger. I have no idea. We have no idea the source of this witch hunt.
But by Wednesday, when the Associated Press reported that a third woman said that she also received unwelcome sexual advances, the strategy changed from the Herman Cain campaign. He's not answering questions now, and he's hunkering down a bit. This finger-pointing thing is really threatening to draw down the dialogue and overshadow the Republican presidential campaign. Some Republican Party leaders are worried that if this goes on much farther, it's not good for the party's ultimate goal of finding the strongest nominee to defeat President Obama.
Times reporter Jeff Zeleny. That's our preview of Friday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. Starting Sunday, you can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.